I'm Deb Morgan, the Real Relationships Expert, and I'm here on the Real Relationships Show sharing my solo sessions. These sessions are accumulation of my expertise, my experience, my thoughts, my opinion, the answers to questions I get asked in my email and on my socials, and the questions that I answer every week on my regular radio slot. So grab a drink, sit back, relax, and let's get ready to start changing your life by changing your relationship. Hi, Andy. Wow, we've had some really interesting emails this week. And one I particularly want to address tonight is an email I've had from Simon, who says, "My wife and I are in our mid-50s. And we're still very much in love, but our sex life has dwindled to almost nothing. It's not that we don't fancy each other, it's not that we have problems, but we just don't seem to be having sex." And I hear this quite often, particularly with midlife couples. So if you are in your mid to late 40s and upwards, and there are issues with your sex life, you might want to listen in right now. And Simon, you know, I'm sorry, first of all, that you're having these issues, and I'm sorry that you're frustrated by them. And I don't mean just you, I suspect that your wife is frustrated as well. And there can be lots and lots of reasons for a dwindling libido or non-existent sex life. And let's not forget that many couples as well have a really healthy and strong relationship without having any sex at all. But that's not the discussion we're going to have here. It's not the conversation we're having now. A dwindling libido as you get older is natural. And unfortunately, because we are at the influence of so much media, we tend to look at the headlines. We, as human beings, naturally compare ourselves to other people in everything we do. If you think about sport, if you think about your job, your house, you know, the term keeping up with Joneses, you know, think about all of the ways in which you compare yourself to other people. And in the current time, in the current generation, we are very much focused on image. And within that image is not just what we look like, but being seen or being heard to do the right thing and keep up with society's expectations. And it can seem at times that society is telling us that the only way to be normal is to be having sex 5 times a week, swinging from the chandeliers, every which way. And if you're not involved in some sort of kink or fetish, that there is something wrong with you. And seriously, if you look at the headlines that tell you an average couple has sex X number of times a week, an average couple does this, an average couple does that, it is all sent to, on one hand, make us feel like we are average or above average. But what it also does is make us feel that we are not good enough. And that is very often where this lack of libido, a lack of a sex drive, stems from. Because the media tells us that as we reach midlife, goodness, can't get my words out this evening, as we reach midlife and middle age, that our desire and natural responses for sex dwindle anyway. So at a really subconscious level, it is putting that into our minds that our sex drive is going to dwindle. Then when we find the pressures of life and external factors taking their hold, that has a detrimental impact on our sex life as well. If we are stressed, if we are not well, if we are worrying about something, if we have an injury, if we're just feeling that maybe we're not really feeling sexy right now. We've perhaps got a few pounds we want to shift. That's a very common one. And just not feeling as if our partner will fancy us. All of this has an impact on our sex drive. And I'm sure I'm not telling you anything that you don't already know. But what it fails to address is the major physiological changes going on in both the female and the male bodies when we reach midlife. Now, much has been said in recent years about the female menopause. I personally call it the Davina effect. Women are now being told that if they're not having HRT to boost their sex drive, you know, they're not helping themselves, they're not helping their partner. Puts an awful lot of pressure on women to have HRT. And whilst HRT can help to increase your sex drive and improve your sex drive, it is not the be-all and end-all, and it's not the perfect solution for everyone. And take it from someone who's been there, HRT is very much about trial and error, and what works for one person won't work for the next person. And it has to be very finely balanced so that it aligns with the hormones that you, your wife or partner, has left, the hormones that they have lost. So it is not one of those one size fits all. It takes a long time to get the balance right. And just when you've got it right, things start to change again. So it's constantly evolving, but it is a solution. Now, men, on the other hand, go through the andropause. And not a lot is said about the andropause. And whilst we all know about these major physiological changes taking place in a woman's body, there are physiological changes taking place in men's bodies too. In fact, this is the biggest hormonal upheaval in anyone's body since puberty. With the exception of women who have had children, this will be the biggest hormonal upheaval in their lives since pregnancy. So it's no wonder that both men and women, male and female, suffer from a dwindling sex drive because our hormones start going in different directions. As men, you suddenly start sprouting hairs in your ears and up your nose and wonder where on earth they came from. You'll find it harder to maintain that six pack. You'll find it more difficult to exercise. And as your body is going through these changes, what it does is utilize its resources to shore up those aspects of you that are needed to keep you alive. So it will look at sending all of its resources into the central nervous system, into the, I really can't get my words out this evening, into the digestive system. That was the word I was looking for. I'm sat here waving my arms around, trying to describe it to you all visually, but of course that is no good to anybody, is it, when we're on the radio and I'm sat here and you can't see me waving my arms around and pointing to various parts of my body. So just know that that's me and one of the symptoms of menopause, and you know, it affects your brain as well, brain fog, and I've obviously got that here this evening. But to get back on to what we were talking about, dwindling sex life in midlife, it is absolutely normal, first of all, okay? There are ways you can get around it, and I will talk about those in a little while. I'll give you some suggestions to improve that. But for now, we're going to listen to some music. Simon, we will come back to you, and I will offer you some tips and some advice maybe on how you can start to increase your sex drive, how you can start to improve your sex life. And for anyone else for whom this is an issue, stay tuned and we will talk some more about this very, very shortly. And if you have any questions or concerns, drop us an email, andy@theloveshow.co.uk. Okay, well, shall we see if I can actually get my words out now for the rest of this evening? I've gone and had a glass of water to wake me up a little bit. And let's see, we were talking about dwindling sex drive. and how it is actually quite normal when you are in midlife. And I now want to offer some tips to you, Simon, and to anybody else who's struggling with the same issue that can perhaps help you to improve things. And one of the first things I'm going to tell you to do is absolutely take sex off the table. Take it off the agenda. I was going to say, don't think about it, but when you're not having something and you want it, you're going to be thinking about it all the time. It's a bit like chocolate when you're on diet, isn't it? But when you are with your partner, when you are with your wife, take sex off the table so neither of you feels the pressure to perform. Because that pressure results in anxiety, which I'm sure you are very aware of. You will have read it somewhere, heard it somewhere else. You don't need me to elaborate on that. The pressure results in anxiety, which causes performance issues. So let's take sex completely off the menu. And then really start to be present in the time you have with your partner. And if you find that difficult, think back to when you first met. And I don't know if that is 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30, 40 years ago, or if it's 6 months ago, or even 2 weeks ago. Think back to when you first met, what it was attracted you about your partner or your wife, what it was that made you fall in love with them. So I can pretty much guarantee that aspect of them is still there. Maybe you love the twinkle in their eyes. Maybe you love the curve of their neck, shapely ankles. Thought they had a fantastic bum. Whatever it might be, think back to that because the core of your person, your partner, is still there. And if it wasn't a physical attraction, more a personality trait, perhaps it was their values or their principles, they are likely to still be there as well. Remind yourself of those. Have conversations with your partner, talking about those things that you used to talk about when you first met. Excuse me. And really try to tune back into those times together. Try to avoid just slumping down on the sofa watching TV of an evening. Try to avoid doing the same old, visiting the same pub, going to the same restaurant, having exactly the same routine when you have time together. I'm an absolute massive advocate of date nights. And if people would like me to, I can send you some details on A to Z of date nights. I've got a whole long list of things that you could potentially do on a date night, paid, free, and just ideas for doing things because relationships end up in a rut. When relationships end up in a rut, our sex life takes a dip. And these things are designed to get you out of that rut, to d designed to get you doing things that perhaps you wouldn't normally do, designed to move you a little bit out of your comfort zone and create shared experiences because the shared experiences make you interesting to each other. They keep you keen on each other. They allow you to be yourselves. They hopefully enable you to be kind to each other as well. And you nurture each other through them because for one of you, something might be out of your comfort zone and the other won't. And for the regular listener amongst you, you will recognize that I have just referred to my KINKY acronym. A few weeks ago, I asked you how kinky you are, and I talked about the KINKY acronym. I talk about this stuff and repeat this stuff because it is so important to the core of a relationship. When we get core basics right, the other stuff falls into place and the sex will start to fall into place when we start remembering how much we love to be in the other person's company. Because when sex becomes a chore, that's when it's likely to start dwindling. When you start feeling that, well, I should have sex because we've been married for X number of years and we always have sex on a Friday night. And if we don't do it this week, we probably won't do it again next week. And then that's going to be a self-perpetuating, self-perpetuating. And on us. It becomes a chore. We go and have sex. And it's like, right, let's get back to watching the TV. it becomes boring, it becomes staid, and nothing about it is exciting. Neither of you are excited about it as either the giver or the receiver. Whether you're a same-sex couple or whether you're a heterosexual couple, nobody is excited by sex when it becomes a chore. So we have to do things that are different to what we have normally done to actually revitalize and activate that desire and motivation pathway. Because if you remember, I've spoken before about the desire and motivation pathway. When that is activated, our body then, our mind actively seeks out other things to do to ensure it makes us feel the same way in the future. So I've rambled on enough for this evening, but there are a number of things you can do there. Take sex off the table. Get out of your comfort zone and do something a bit different for date night. And maybe just hold hands. Just kiss. Learn to be with each other. When you have become more relaxed in each other's company again, when you are having shared experiences, when you are learning to love the small things about each other and not worry about the bills and not worry about what you're going to have for dinner or what the kids are doing or anything else like that, just focus on the two of you. You will get to the stage where gradually and naturally you will want to have sex again. And it may not work the first time, it may not work the second time. But with practice, keep trying, and it will come back. And if it doesn't work, don't make a big issue of it. Just say, oh, well, you know, next time we'll try better. Think of it like baking a cake for the first time or making, I don't know, making a really nice dish the first time and it doesn't go quite right. It's no big deal. You've wasted perhaps a little bit of money in the ingredients you've bought, but it's no big deal. You try again the next time, and hopefully the next time it's not quite so burnt. It's a little bit more edible. And the third time, it's more edible again. And the fourth time, more edible again, and so on, until eventually you are creating this as a masterpiece. It is something you pull out time and time again. You are confident in your ability to prepare this particular meal, and you know that people will enjoy it. And it is the same process when we are trying to re-establish our sex lives. I know that it can seem daunting. I know that when you are in this place, it can seem as if everybody else around you is having sex at the drop of a hat and finding it really easy. Trust me, they are not, and you are not alone amongst your friends and certainly amongst your peer group. If you would like to ask me some more direct questions around this, email into andy@theloveshow.co.uk and I can perhaps send you some more information that will help you on this, Simon. But don't be afraid to contact the show again and we can have a further conversation. I hope that's been of help. I'd love to hear from more of you. If you have any questions or queries, send an email to andy@theloveshow.co.uk. And I'm going to go now. And hopefully, by this time next week, the brain fog will have gone. My voice will have come back a little bit. I have a very dry throat here this evening. That's the heating just going back on this time of year, isn't it? And I will be firing on all cylinders once more. Thanks so much for your questions. Keep them coming.
Join me in the next solo session where I'll be intimately yours once more. I'm Deb Morgan, the Real Relationships Expert, and you've been listening to The Real Relationships Show. Don't forget to like, subscribe, support, or send me a voice message, and you might feature in a future episode.